This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, we made it to Friday morning, made it through opening day. Big wins yesterday for the Cardinals and the Blues. Congratulations to them both. The rain delay, well, it took about an hour, hour and a half or so, but the game got, they got the game in. That was fantastic. The Cardinals showing some signs of life yesterday, I think. Welcome into the show. Mark Cox here along with Kim St. Ange and Carl Middleman. We'll get Sue Thomas in here shortly. Carl, tell us about that Blues game last night.
So the Blues were losing 2-0, had only had 3 shots on goal in the first half of the game. Then they scored a goal in the second. And then in the third, within 22 seconds, they were winning.
Wow.
2 goals in 22 seconds.
They're on a roll, man.
Yeah, 8 in a row. I'm trying to think of, is this cannot be that common to win 8 games in a row.
And when we won the cup in 2019, they won 13 in a row. 2 of them against Nashville, back-to-back.
Yeah, you don't want to curse them by bringing that up there, Carl.
You do not. But, in fact, someone said, this feels like 2019. I'm like, don't say that.
They don't need to win 13 in a row.
It would be nice.
Well, it would be nice.
They only have 4 home games left.
So we'll for sure be, I know these are questions for Tom Ackerman, but Carl, you probably know, we'd for sure be a wild card at this point.
There is a chance we might be the first wild card,
yes.
Which would mean they're only 2 points behind Minnesota, who also won last night.
Mm-hmm.
So. But that doesn't mean, don't count your chickens, because Calgary, who is behind us, they lost last night, which was good for us because you don't want to have to rely on other teams losing to get in.
True.
If we win out, we're in. If, which is what we want. That's what.
But even if we
you want to
stunk
control your own.
For the next few games, there's still
there's still a chance we can not make it.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
If they started a losing streak?
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. Okay.
It's very tight.
Well, good games for both. I guess I wasn't surprised when I saw the introductions at the beginning of the game, and John Mozeliak and the DeWitts were getting booed loudly by the crowd. Arenado got a round of applause.
Yes,
that
did.
Was nice.
He also had a homer last night.
Glad to see that. He got a home run last night. Yeah.
And Sonny Gray
pulled it
not,
out.
Did not look like he did in spring training.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, they feel the pressure of opening day. Tom Ackerman said he's a great pitcher. If he's not throwing 100 miles an hour, he just needs to place the balls in the right place. So,
well, and they really should feel the pressure from last year because they were terrible. And obviously St. Louis fans are very loyal, and they'll still show up when you suck, for a lack of a better word. But
yeah.
People are really hopeful that things will be better.
The answer to the question I'm receiving the most on social media and via text messages and direct messages is yes. I have pretty much finished the voter guide. It is in the hands of our executive producer, Tricia Everding. Tricia Siegman Everding. And she is under the weather. So I do not know if that is going to delay me getting that posted today or not. We will see. If she's not feeling up to posting it, then we'll probably do it on Monday. And if not, it could be later today. I don't know. It's my fault for not getting it to her till yesterday afternoon. But just so you know, it's coming.
So
it's short. It's brief.
People have already been commenting over the last few days. You know, are you covering this? Are you covering that? Now, obviously, you can't cover every single local race. There's far too many. But what are the key races that you are watching that you covered?
School board issues are big ones. And this is the thing. There are a lot of school board races, right? And I don't know the people in every single one of these school board races, but I do know people who support families and support parents having a say in their children's education in several of these districts, and I've conferred with them, and I've reached the conclusion of which candidates deserve our support. In many cases, there are none. In many cases, nobody stepped forward who was either a parent-centered or cared enough to step forward and put their name on the ballot. And therefore, the NEA happily filled those positions, and that's what will happen on Election Day. There are just no good options in several huge districts, which just breaks my heart. Obviously, in the Rockwood situation, we lost Izzy Emig because she resigned and then pulled her name out of the race. Now, she's still on the ballot, but she doesn't consider herself a candidate, which leaves the other two who are, although not endorsed by the NEA, they're the NEA candidates. So I'm not endorsing anybody in that race. There's nobody in Parkway worth endorsing. I mean, I've looked at all of these. So that's tough. I mean, in some districts, it's an uphill battle. But stop relying on other people. If you're a parent in one of those districts and you worry about curriculum and the crazy woke policies of some of these superintendents, you need to step forward and put your name in the ring. It's not too late. And I'm disappointed that there aren't more people doing that this time around, but there aren't. So I focused on the board races where I think we can make a difference. Francis Howe, Wentzville, there are several others, Lindbergh. There are some districts where there are people running who will stand up and for the kids. And those are the ones I've listed. A couple of mayor's races, obviously not the insane clown posse in the city. It doesn't really matter what my opinion is on that.
Go Kara Spencer, right?
There are a couple of propositions on the ballot that I'm weighing in on, including Prop B in the county.
Mm-hmm. Because next year will be the big year for all the county executive races,
yes,
right? Next year will be St. Charles County Executive, St. Louis County Executive.
But if you look at the rundown of what's on the St. Louis County, just the St. Louis County ballot alone, there are hundreds of people up for election on April 8th. Many of them are city council members and smaller positions. Then there's just no way I could parse through who to support in those smaller races because I just don't know that there must be 100 of them.
Mark, do better.
I'm sorry. I am but one man.
You should cover every single little race in every single municipality.
You just can't do it. So hopefully what the voter guide, although brief, will be out later today. And hopefully it'll help the people in the districts where we can still have an impact and help the kids and help the taxpayers in some of these cases. All right. We'll get to all that for you a little later. J.J. Carafano, there's been a lot of talk about what is a war plan, what isn't a war plan. Were war plans tweeted out? Did they do something extraordinary here or not? You know, Jim, among other things, is a retired lieutenant colonel, and I'm anxious to get his take on the whole thing. We're going to get to him today in the 7 o'clock hour, as we always do on a Friday. We've got Congressman Eric Burleson a little later. We're going to talk about the Francis Howe School District race. Randy Cook is going to be in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour. We've got all that coming up right now. Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You're supposed to be 130 days. Are you going to continue past that?
Well, I think we will have accomplished most of the work required to reduce the deficit by $1 trillion within that time frame.
Boy, he's scary, isn't he? That was the evil Elon Musk the left will tell you about. Yeah, they hate him. They're burning his cars. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm only supposed to be around 130 days. I think we're going to get most of this accomplished by then. A very great interview yesterday by Brett Baer.
The big three so-called American companies, GM, Ford, Stellantis, they're not really American companies. They have
General Motors isn't an American company?
Yeah, CNN's Casey Hunt, shocked to hear there from Peter Navarro that less than half of the products you find in most American cars are actually American. She was shocked to hear that.
the United Auto Workers Union, Sean Fain, who wasn't the greatest fan of the president on the campaign trail, came out this morning and applauded the president for this move.
Can you imagine? I'd love to be a fly on the wall at the DNC when progressive liberals like Sean Fain come out and praise an action taken to protect American workers by a Republican president. It must drive them insane.
A skyscraper in Bangkok collapsed after a massive 7.7 earthquake rocked Thailand and Burma today, followed minutes later by a 6.4 aftershock and two more at 4.6.
Yeah, I'm sure the damage reports are going to be rolling in on this this morning. It's pretty. Right now, they're only reporting three killed in a building collapse in Thailand, but I can't believe that that death toll is not going to go higher. That's a huge earthquake. I had an aunt who lived in Phuket, Thailand, for a while. On the other side of the mountain range, it's a mountain range, right? They were on the other side from where the flood happened a few years ago. But it's a beautiful area. Thailand's a huge country. I don't know exactly where all this affected, but we'll keep an eye on that as news rolls in on it this morning. I promise you that. Probably one of the biggest stories. The other big story, Elise Stefanik being withdrawn from the UN ambassador situation. Trump says it's because they can't afford to lose another member of the House.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that rationale, because he's not wrong, but I just he had no problem pulling out other people from Congress into these cabinet positions. Well, so that's what makes me question. Did something happen behind the scenes and maybe, there was a disagreement?
Maybe, but Democrats are playing. Steve Bannon made a great point yesterday. I'm going to get to it for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We're at war. We can all be all smiles and feel good about the election and all the winning we're seeing out there. You got to look at what's going on behind the scenes. And the thing with the signal controversy is really just scratching the surface as to what they're doing with lawfare and a lot of other things. They're once again ramping up to try to do what they did in 2016, which is stop Donald Trump at all costs. So we're going to get into that here in just a couple of minutes. But first, Carl Middleman.
Yes.
And by the way, today I got to pick all of the bump music. So this should be really enjoyable, Kim. You're really going to love
it.
You are going to love it. Some deep cuts, some classic rock. We're going to get to that right after the fray.
Did you really pick this? Mark, are you just
I saw him.
Are you just being nice to me?
I love Sinatra. No. I got to pick music I like to listen to. I love Sinatra.
Hold my hand. This is a good way to start my Friday.
Carl is holding off on the hard rock for a little later.
So it just goes downhill from here?
He didn't do them in the order I sent them to him in. He picked and chose.
Is this the only one that I'll really approve
no,
of?
No. I think there's another one you'll like.
At least one more.
At least one more. All right.
In the next 4 hours. Fantastic.
out of 4 hours of broadcast today. I only got to pick 9 songs. I kind of, for some reason, thought there would be more, but Carl limited me to 9 songs.
Well, thank you, Carl.
You're welcome. No, and Kim, you also picked 9 songs.
I threw in a bonus.
Did you pick like the Kentucky Fight song? Is that
I did
one
not.
In there?
No, I just wore my Kentucky shirt today. Thank you. Hey, you know, by the way, I'm going to get to the Steve Bannon information coming up here. I promised you before the break because I think it's important for us to understand. But do you see what the White House did yesterday? I'm on the press distribution list when they send out the executive orders from the communications office every day. They dropped 3 bombs yesterday afternoon. Can I just tell you that? Let me read this one to you. First of all, making the District of Columbia safe and beautiful. This is an executive order signed by the president yesterday, right? It's aimed directly at Mayor Muriel Bowser and all those crazy lefties that think they control the District of Columbia. Donald Trump did this. Making the District of Columbia safe by fighting crime was one of the directives. And specifically, here's what it's about. It directs maximum enforcement of federal immigration laws and monitors the District of Columbia's sanctuary city status and compliance with the enforcement of federal immigration laws. And he's assigned, like, the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorneys from 3 different districts are all sitting on this panel making sure D.C.'s safe to walk down the street when you go there to visit.
Good.
Remember, we've had people carjacked and everything
members
within sight of the Capitol.
Yeah.
It's insane. Here's the next one, Kim. Have you ever heard of Wilmer Hale?
No.
Yesterday, there was an executive order addressing the risks from Wilmer Hale. Wilmer Hale is Wilmer Cutler Pickering Hale and Dorr LLP. It's one of these big left-wing law firms that has so damaged this country by hiring every left-wing zealot they can and attacking people like Donald Trump over the years with their big, powerful law firm interests. This is killing them. He's having all of the security clearances pulled. Do you know what they did, for example? For example, Wilmer Hale rewarded Robert Mueller and his colleagues, Aaron Zelensky, his top aide, and associate James Quarles by hiring them to the firm after they wielded the power of the federal government and led to one of the most partisan investigations in American history. This is slapback on these big Democrat law firms that were used to persecute and prosecute Donald Trump over the years. So I'm happy to see it happen. It'll last as long as we have a Republican president. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
I support artificial intelligence. Kamala Harris will let you know it's AI.
Two words.
I support it because if we as the United States don't take advantage of it and look into ways we can integrate it into our everyday lives, then somebody else will beat us to it. So there is a need, I think, to be able to look into this and use it because I think it can be used for a lot of good. But I have been also very reluctant to want to rush the process. And I actually don't love the way that the Trump administration has gone about it. They have really embraced it. Now, I'm not saying that they're just, you know, going guns blazing and using it everywhere, but I do feel like they're a very, very friendly, like AI friendly administration. And they kind of ran on that right? Yeah. So there was this story that came up about a Nashville meteorologist. You guys have heard me talk about the fact that I used to work in Nashville. She didn't work at my particular station, but she worked at the competitor. But it's a small business. You kind of know everybody. And anyway, she kind of abruptly left the business after 9 years of working in Nashville, and no one really knew why. Well, now I figured out why. So she goes to the Tennessee, it says it was the Tennessee House Criminal Justice Subcommittee meeting. And she took the stand on Wednesday, and she was testifying in favor of this bill that would essentially have harsher penalties for people who are using, stealing your image. So taking your picture off of Facebook or off of Instagram and using it to create these deep fake images. Because she says what happened was shortly after Halloween last year, hundreds of these fake accounts, particularly on Facebook, she says, but it was also happening on Instagram, started popping up. Kind of describes it like whack-a-mole. It was like she would report one and then 10 more would pop up, and it was overwhelming where they were taking her face and they were putting them on semi-nude bodies and they were distributing it out, videos of her, and it sounds like there may have been her voice attached using AI saying, "I'm Bree Smith, this is really me," and they would go after her followers. You know, she had tens of thousands of followers because she's a public figure in Nashville. And they were reaching out to her followers and saying, "Hey, you know, can you help me with something?" And then as soon as they would get that person to direct message them, they would get them over to separate apps like Signal, she mentioned, was one of them. The other one was Telegram, which sounds familiar, but I've never used it. Rings a bell, though.
No.
Anyway, and they would try to get the person to pay money to be able to see this content. Now, I'm sure not a lot of people fell for it, but there are certainly some people who would probably be curious enough to want to do something about that. But it's really sad. I want you to listen to some of her testimony again when she was speaking to lawmakers on Wednesday.
Discovering these imposter accounts and seeing the degrading fake images and videos was devastating to me. But of even greater concern was how these imposter accounts were using these fake images. It wasn't just to degrade and humiliate me. They were tricking people who already followed me on Facebook to send them money and personal information. What if my kids saw something with my face? My face, their mom's face. What if someone bullied them at school and tried to humiliate them because of me?
She referenced a situation out of, I think, Kentucky, where there was a teen, maybe 13, 14 years old, where something similar happened, where they got a hold of his face, they put it on a body, I guess doing some sort of like sexual act, and they more or less blackmailed him, threatened him, saying, hey, if you don't give us $3,000 or whatever the amount was, we're going to distribute this out. And he committed suicide.
Wow.
Now I understand that's an extreme example, but there is something that needs to be done about this, and I'm not quite sure that I fully understood until I watched her testimony. There really isn't much that can be done about this. Like, if someone were to take your picture, Mark, sure, there's like copyright infringement laws and stuff, but not much, actually, the way the law is set up right now, not much can be done. Should she reach out to Facebook? I mean, good luck if you've ever tried to reach out to Facebook for anything.
There's no phone number. You
can't
call them.
Don't hold your breath.
No.
She said it was basically just a dead-end road. Every corner she would turn trying to do something, find a solution, nothing. Went to her bosses. They basically said, sorry, nothing we can do, which I'm sure is why she quit. She felt completely unsupported.
Yes, now, abandoned.
Abandoned. And maybe her boss was right. Maybe there isn't much they can do. That's probably not the best answer to give her, considering she said this caused her to go into a depression. But that's ridiculous. Like, shouldn't there be criminal penalties for someone? I understand it's probably hard to catch some of these people.
There should be. Well, I mean, and some of them are going to be local cases. Like, there obviously are higher profile news people in the world than a Nashville news anchor, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
But there are plenty of them. And how did they land on her? What are the odds it was somebody in Croatia who hacked in and found her and decided we're gonna target her? Mm-hmm. So either this is more widespread than we know of, and other cases just aren't reported because people don't want publicity, because the minute you get their name attached to a story like that, people are going to start searching for images, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to see what
curiosity.
It was. And why don't they go after, I don't know, Ainsley on Fox and Friends? Like, there are much higher profile people, and I don't see the stories about them. So mm-hmm. I wonder if in other words, what I'm suggesting is some of these may be local hackers that are doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are exactly the people who can be targeted with laws like that.
Right.
So knowing that there's a law against taking somebody's face and putting it on a nude body or a, you know, some suggestive post, that there's a consequence for that that's going to be followed through with, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pam Bondi said yesterday about the people setting fire to these Teslas. When we catch you, and they did catch the guy in Vegas, by the way, we will seek the maximum penalty, which is 20 years, and there will be no plea deals. Zero. If we catch you, you're going down hard for a long time. Those are the kinds of statements law enforcement legislators need to make to deter crime.
100%. In fact, there was a story that Channel 4 did the other day, and they were talking about how a lot of the violent criminals in the city of St. Louis, for whatever reason, are offered plea deals. And I can understand in certain situations why a plea deal would make a lot of sense, but it begs the question, or is that what you're doing kind of as a, you know, let's not prosecute that. Like, there is a time and a place for a plea deal, and then there are many situations where you need to prosecute the person.
So I was in Alabama recently. Now, since you mentioned that, I'll bring it up. I'm in Alabama. I'm with a friend of mine. His daughter-in-law works for in the court system as an interpreter. And there's, you know, like, we have a lot of big law firms here that advertise on billboards. There's a guy down there with a very distinctive last name who's on all the billboards. And her comment to her father-in-law was, those people are never in court, because that's not what it's about. They settle out of court all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the game, right? Let us take your case. We're going to get 25% of the settlement, and we're definitely going to settle it out of court, because why would we waste the man hours on a trial when we can make millions of dollars settling mm-hmm. out of court? And in criminal law, it's not. It's similar. There's a time factor to taking every single case to the courtroom. Just
yeah.
a time factor.
It comes down to money. It's staffing,
yes.
timing, all of, there's a lot of factors, I think. And it's interesting you say that. You don't want to believe that could be one of the reasons, but I mean, let's be real. We know it is. I mean, you going back to the whole conversation of AI and stuff and these public figures, how often is it happening, though, to, I almost said Jenny on the Block, and then I realize I'm talking about J-Lo. How often, though, is it happening to, like, Joe, your neighbor, or, you know, Sharon, the lady you see at the grocery store? Like, are they always, maybe it's more lucrative to go after the public figures because they know that people would be, there's more curiosity, people are more willing to cough up money to see them.
That's exactly it. That they know you can't get blood out of a turnip. You have to go after people you perceive have money of some sort. You know, I'm shocked at it. I've seen the clickbait on Facebook, the ads, make any picture talk. Have you seen those ads on Facebook?
No.
Where you can, like, take a picture of your grandfather from, you know, the 1950s, and it's black and white photo, and they have imagery that will make, the like, their facial expressions make them move and talk and dance. And,
oh, my gosh, no.
Like, you can add action to still pictures. I don't know how they do that. I have no idea how they do that.
See, that's the stuff that scares me about it.
It's frightening. I'm standing over here like John Connor from Terminator looking at you thinking, are you sure this is a good idea? Are you sure this AI stuff can... The question is, can we harness it? Like, my wife thinks this is the greatest thing since sliced bread for applications in her business and in marketing and communications and all that. ChatGPT, where they can help you, you know, summarize paragraphs and things like that.
Polish.
Yeah, polish. You see the polish thing on your computer
all
the time.
Help me write that. I always get that option if I'm writing an email or something.
You see the advantages of things like that. Yeah. Easy little applications.
I see advantages.
But I also see a situation where the computers are going to outsmart us at some point, and that was the whole story in Terminator, and that John Connor's going to the future, going back in time to try to prevent that from happening. Yeah. Will we put the right safeguards in place?
100%. And where is the line on how many jobs it takes over? Because I think some jobs, you should have them doing the work that three people could do because it's not necessary. But where do you draw that line? We can't have AI and these computers and robots taking over all of our jobs.
Kim, the minute the radio industry figures out how to replace us with AI, we're toast.
It was really nice working with you, Mark.
It was great. It was great being here for so long. I'm telling you, just a matter of time. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in just a minute. I'll get to that Steve Bannon bite I promised you right after this. Stay tuned. I wanted some deep cuts for Van Halen. Found myself when I looked at my original list, most of it was Dave.
There's
I got
Sammy.
Went to Van Halen 2. I finally went back and threw a Sammy song in there. I had to stop myself. Almost every early song I picked was David Lee Roth.
I'll get you one in there.
Oh, this is one of my favorite songs. All right.
Listen to the harmonies.
Listen at what good singers they are. The best harmony's at the end of this one, so maybe we can grab that as we go out here at the top of the block. All right, Steve Bannon wants you to know what's going on right now. We've often referred to it as lawfare, but it's really so much more than that. The deep state attacking Donald Trump at every move. We've kind of wondered, haven't you wondered where it's been? But it's been there all along. Like in 2016, it was so obvious to everyone that no matter what Donald Trump did, no matter what sound he uttered out of his mouth, there was a Democrat filing impeachment charges against him for everything. All they could think about was how do we stop this guy who's threatening, at that point, we didn't even know it, the billions of dollars were funneling through USAID, which is coming back through NGOs to Act Blue to fund our campaigns. He's a threat to all of that. And the Democrats knew that back in 2016. Most of us were unaware of just how deep the threat went with Donald Trump. That's what the deep state was worried about. That's why once they got him out of office, they tried to do everything they could to bury him because they couldn't tolerate the idea that he might come back. And now they're just shell-shocked in November. How did that happen? You know, you hear them. Who was it the other day who said, how did this happen? Was it McCaskill? It was Rosie O'Donnell who said, how did this happen? Maybe 2024 was a fake election because she was filling up stadiums and he wasn't. I mean, this is the nonsense you hear from the left. So now you're starting to see it again, right? They've blown this whole signal thing way out of proportion. It's a nothing burger compared to what Hillary Clinton did, and they didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton. Nobody's going to get prosecuted here. Pete Hegseth's not going to get fired over this. But they've got the attention of the mainstream media, and that's all people are talking about. Bannon says you got to get your head out of the sand if you think this is going to get any easier. Listen.
kidding ourselves if we don't think that Democrats are pulling all stops out to stop President Trump, to take the House through any means necessary, to impeach Trump in the first, start the impeachment process in the first weeks of 2027, and God forbid we don't win in 28, President Trump is going to prison. Just like Bolsonaro in Brazil, people are sitting around still with the glow of November 4th and all the inaugurations and all the balls. We're at war. And the things that happened in the last 72 hours, if you don't understand we're in political warfare, so, you are you're not awake.
He's right. He's absolutely right. They see what they think is a weakness. Mm-hmm. I saw Hakeem Jeffries said sometimes when people open their mouths and words come out, you realize the depth of their ignorance. But Hakeem Jeffries said yesterday, the Republicans are in a tailspin.
Really?
I just read you the three executive orders he issued only yesterday. Still totally in command and still crushing it. Mm-hmm. But Hakeem Jeffries wants you to think that because of one text string that made it to a journalist somewhere, the Republican Party is in a death spiral.
They do need to investigate what happened to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone needs to be fired or resigned. No. And if they did do anything like that, which it won't happen, but if they did, it'd be completely hypocritical, like you said, because of what happened with Hillary Clinton.
It's a war. We're at war. That's what's going on. Absolutely. All right. Coming up here in the next hour, we are going to get you a check of a business this morning. Nicole Murray's on a little bit of a vacation, I think we're checking in with Dom, aren't we? Carl, is that who's in this morning? We got in other news coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.